for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, February the 20th, 2010. Diane Beju is the speaker of this service, teaching on Transition into Position, Part 2.
God is so good. Amen. He is just so good. And we're going to have a good time this afternoon. In fact, we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord this afternoon. We're going to continue the message from last night. We talked about transition last night, which means what? Moving from one place to another. So last night we got rid of some of the things that were deep-seated issues in our life. And we got rid of those, so now God has us in a place where He can position us to go and do the calling that He has on our life. Because until we get rid of those things, we're kind of just stagnant and we're kind of in limbo. But, you know, God is so faithful. You seek after Him and you find Him and He delivers you. And I too am so thankful for the deliverance camp. The very first time I came here was 23, 24, 25 years ago. And when I walked in, I think I was in my early 40s, and I walked in, my husband and I did, and I looked around and I said, oh my word, what did we get into? There's nothing but a bunch of old people here. And I just looked around because that's all that was here at that time. Later, the younger ones came in. But God started something then and started our journey or continued our journey in deliverance. But not only deliverance, but the whole fivefold ministry and the whole spectrum of ministry. It's not just deliverance. However, deliverance is a major part, as we know from reading the New Testament. So we talked about transition last night, and today we're going to talk about position and putting you in position. So the very first thing I want to say is that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And we're going to use lots of scripture this afternoon, so you're welcome to look at it with me, turn to it in your Bible, or just jot it down on your notes and go back and research it when you get home. But let's turn to Jeremiah 29:11. Many of us could quote this by heart, but let's read it and underline it if you don't have it underlined. In fact, every scripture that I read, you should underline this afternoon if it's not already done so. Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." What is that expected end? That expected end is for you to fulfill the purpose that He has for you, fulfilling your destiny. Some of you are called to be apostles and prophets. Some of you are called to be ministers. Some of you are called to be evangelists. Some of you are called to just go from place to place ministering the Word of God in your neighborhoods, in your church. God has a plan. Many of us as women are called to be wives and mothers, wife and mother to our children. And you know what? Ladies, that's the greatest calling that God has upon your life. And so never say, oh, I wish I could go and do this. I wish, but I have these kids. These kids are precious jewels in your hand for you to mold and for you to make into the image of God that He's called you to do. He would not have given them to you that He thought you couldn't do it. So He's equipped you to be a mother. He's equipped you to be a parent. Now, let's go over, and this is our key scripture this afternoon, 1 Peter 2:9. Don't you just love this scripture too? Let's read it together, if you will. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The first thing we're going to look at today, as far as being positioned, is that you are chosen. You didn't just drop out of the sky or anything else. You were chosen by God. You were chosen by God to be here today, to be in this conference. You were chosen by God to live where you live. Be content there. I lived in a little community that I could not stand, that I could not wait for God to deliver me. You want me to tell you how long it took me to be delivered? When I quit complaining about, oh, God, deliver me from this place. 25 years. You'd think you would have thought I would have learned before then, huh? It took me that long. And then one day, within 30 days, we had a cash buyer for the house. We had to find a place to live and bought a house, moved 30 days. The day we moved in, that afternoon, the following morning at 6 o'clock, I left to come here to family camp. God, when God's on the move, he's on the move. And today, he's on the move. Say, he's on the move. Say, I'm on the move. Because you can't be transitioned if you're not on the move. Okay. So, you are chosen. Write that down. Chosen. Underline that in your Bible. I am chosen. And we're going to look at a few scriptures about that. Let's turn to Psalm 33. Don't y'all love Bible study? So, let's go to Psalm 33. I know Patty's sitting over there laughing, saying she needed her glasses and now she didn't even put them on to read. Psalm 33, verse 12 said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Let's read that together. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God has you here today because he wants you to hear that. That in order for our nation to be blessed, we have to keep God as the head of this country. Amen. God has to be sovereign over this country, right? Amen. So it's our responsibility to pray for our leaders. It doesn't matter if we agree or disagree on our mayor or as a senator. That doesn't matter. God says to pray for those who are in authority over you. And if we do not intercede, we have no right to complain as to what happens. Amen? So I encourage you, pray for your nation. It said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He chose us. And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." That's you and that's me. Amen? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Okay, let's look at Matthew 20, verse 16. We're talking about chosen. It said, in verse 16, it says, "So the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few are chosen." I want you to know, as time goes by, every day I think, Lord, I used to think that there were going to be so many chosen. But you know, unless you're willing to sell out totally to God, you're chosen. But God wants you to be totally sold out to him, totally committed to him, totally submitted to him, everything that in every facet of your life. And you know what? She had the groups. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and step on up. The older you get, the more you realize how important that is. And to live each day to the fullest and to bring glory and honor to our Father. Let's turn to John, just a couple of books over. John 15:16. We're having a review. John 15:16. "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." He's appointed you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. We talked, I think one of them talked about that earlier, about praying. There's a box full of blessings up there. Praying for God to bless. These things are things that He wants you to have. This is part of your inheritance. If you don't ask for it, you won't get it. It'll just remain there in that box, untouched, gathering dust, and something you could have had. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think about it. If the thought comes to your mind, and it's a good thought, ask for it. Who planted that thought? Is the enemy going to give you good thoughts? No, he's not going to do that. So whatever thought comes to your mind and is good, oh God, yes, ask him and I receive it. Amen? Let's go one more. Acts 9:15, a couple of pages over. Excuse me. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Now he was talking about Saul. And he was talking about Saul being filled with the Spirit. It doesn't matter what kind of scoundrel you were. It doesn't matter what kind of scoundrel your spouse is or your kids are. God says, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And I said that because Saul, oh my goodness, you would have thought anybody seeing Saul coming would have said, run, which is what this is what Ananias told him. He said, I don't want, he kills everybody. So it doesn't, God chooses, you don't. So do we have the right to judge somebody? Do we have the right to say, that person is so no good, God could never reach him? Wrong. God can reach him. If God chose you in the state you were in, if God chose me in the state I was in, he can choose that one as well. Amen? Okay, so he says you're a chosen generation. We are chosen. Remember that. Anytime you start thinking, well, I'm chosen, just quote this scripture. I'm a chosen generation. And so that's part of taking your position. Your position means to take a stand. Take a stand. A place of location or a status. You want people to know who you are in Christ. I heard Sister say this morning, know who you are in Christ. And today you're going to know. Well, you know, God weaves a tapestry. In every camp meeting I have ever been in, God is so wonderful. He weaves a tapestry. He uses the most beautiful thread. And so each person builds upon the other, and that thread just goes through and just builds the most beautiful piece. None of us speak to you. None of us know what each other is speaking, but I can tell you this. Once we get here and once the Holy Ghost starts moving in an area, sometimes he's readjusting everything we thought we were going to say. But God does it. So the second thing he says, a royal priesthood. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So today you're going to realize and you're going to accept the fact that you are royalty in God's kingdom because he has called you to be a royal heir, a joint heir with him. And if you're a joint heir with him, that makes you royalty. Amen. Somebody shout amen. You should be jumping up and down. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Now, what does it mean to be royal? It means belonging to a king. That's the Bible definition, belonging to a king, being part of a royal family. Having the rank of king or queen. Do you like that, king or queen? I like that. When I was in high school, I was queen of some things. And you know what? It was pretty cool. I was a little country girl. And, you know, I never thought for a million years I would be queen of anything. I never solicited that or anything. But when they put that crown on, and you go, wow, this feels good. You know. And so you are a queen. God calls you a queen. You're suitable. You're magnificent. Say, I'm magnificent. I'm splendid. Okay, say it with a little more enthusiasm. I'm princely. I'm regal. I'm majestic. I'm stately.
I'm noble.
Ooh, this is all those good confessions you made about yourself. Hallelujah. I'm adorable. Yes, you're adorable. Hallelujah. So you have a royal position. Amen?
Yes.
Now, because you're chosen, that makes you royal. Because you're the royal priesthood, that makes you holy. Because you're holy, that makes you peculiar. I'll amen that. I'll say it makes me. So you were in transition. So now you have been positioned to a royal priesthood. Now, purpose plus plan equals destiny. Purpose plus plan equals destiny. I am royalty in His kingdom. I'm going to have y'all make a lot of declarations and decree a lot of things this afternoon. And because these things will come rolling back in your spirit once you get home, and you'll begin to declare and decree those things about you and your family and your children, and it's going to be so exciting at what God does. So say this with me. I am royalty in His kingdom.
I am who He says I am.
That means what? You're saying. I think somebody said that earlier. Was it Mary? Somebody said, saying whatever you're saying. I can be all He says I can be. I can be all He says I can be. Not just a little bit. All He says I can be. So that's being. So we're saying, we're being. And He says, I can do all He says I can do.
In Him.
So doing. So we're saying, we're being, and we're doing. He says be doers of the word, doesn't He? Amen. So let's be doers of the word. So welcome to the kingdom of God, family. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, realize that your position has changed because your condition has changed. Amen. Amen. So your royalty. Now, let's look at some more scripture. Go to 1 John 4:4. Because I can now say that I am royalty. One more time. I am royalty. Amen. And all of you know this scripture, 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is He that is in you than
He that is in the world.
Amen. So there's a king inside of me who is greater in me than anything in the world. Amen. So if you start getting feeling a little slap you devil, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Well, yeah, I mean, really, you know, sometimes you got to just go, oh, come here. Through with that. Be gone. But really, I mean, it's pretty likely, but comically. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirs up strife. Do you know if you have hate in your heart, it stirs up strife. But love covers all sin. Love covers all sin. So what does God's Word say? Love one another. Love one another. You know, I like a hug from one another. I just have a hug ministry. I love to hug. When we went to the prison ministry, when we were in the prison ministry for 2 years, I mean, we started out walking in and hug. And that was a prerequisite to being able to go with us to minister in the prison. You had to be able to open your arms and hug them. Hug each woman in there. And that was a hug from mama, from daddy, from granny, from child, from whatever. Just hug them and love them in the love of the Lord. And you know what? They'd probably take that hug and that love probably took them many, many miles that we'll never even know about. Remember that the blood of Jesus qualifies you. It qualifies me. I'm accepted in His beloved. So let's go to Ephesians 1:6. You can just jot these down if you'd like to. It says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved." There you are, ladies. You are accepted. No excuses to say, "Oh, I'm not good enough. He doesn't accept me. And I never was accepted by mama, daddy, anybody else." But you're accepted in the beloved. Where else does it really matter? Be accepted in the beloved. I can be whatever He wants me to be. We talked about that in Jeremiah 29:11. I can be whatever He wants me to be because He has a plan and a purpose for me. So He will design. He has already designed for you what He wants you to be. I have an open relationship with Him. You know, the Scripture talks about open heavens. The heavens are always open to you. And He receives whatever it is we submit to Him. And then He also will disperse. He gives you whatever you need that you've asked for. Romans 8:17, "I am an heir of His kingdom." I'm an heir of His kingdom. We're just substantiating everything that I'm saying today with Scripture for you to go home. And may I make a suggestion? I would go home and I'd put these Scriptures on a 3x5 card and I would go through them and I would have until I have them in my spirit, in me, so that I don't have to go looking around and say, "Well, now what did she say? What was in the Bible?" Just get them in your spirit every day. You know, Connie said, the little journal, write in your journal. Well, you can submit this in your journal for what you learned here about who you are and the fact that you are an heir to a joint heir with Him and that you are royalty. Write these in there. Go through that every day. And I don't know how many pages are in that little journal, but you know what? Allow God to fill them up and you'll be amazed at what God does. You will be amazed at what God does. Now, I love this one. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy says, chapter 32, verse 10. He said, verse 9 is, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in the desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye." Wow. All of that. But He kept him. He will keep you also. He will keep you. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you've been through, know this: the hand of God has kept you. Yes. It's only the hand of God that has kept you. But if not, the devil would have snuffed you out a long time ago, because he does not want you to be effective in the kingdom of God. And so as long as you have a hunger in your heart, as long as you're pursuing Him, He's going to keep you as the apple of His eye. Yes. Amen. Okay, so now you can see clearly His purpose, His plan, His destiny for your life. Your responsibility is for you to fulfill that and seek Him every day, because He's going to add to it. What your plan and purpose, what His ultimate plan and purpose, and what His immediate plan, short-term, long-term goals, what His short-term goal for you may be, I want you to get in there. I want you to press toward the mark. I want you to learn Scripture. I want you to put me within you. I want you to begin to praise me. I want you to begin to learn to worship me. Oh, there is nothing like worship. I love worship. Get on your face and worship. You know, last summer, we had, and I had never in all the years we've done the youth camp, had never done this before. But God says, we teach the kids how to praise. We teach the young people, excuse me, forgive me, Brother Glenn, the young people, that's a running thing. The young people, I never thought about this. We taught them how to praise God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then, I worship you, Almighty God. We taught them how to worship. In one way, we taught them how to reverence God. We taught them how to kneel. We taught them all the different ways of worship. But I had never taught them how to lay prostrate before the Lord. And so one day during camp meeting, I said, God wants you, wants all of you. Now, I never get this right. Prostrate on the floor. So I just... Hey, I'm transparent. But my dear friend here is a retired English teacher.
You have an R in the one you're using, prostrate.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Prostrate. I knew that one. The other one I didn't. So. Oh, I didn't say that. Did I say the other? No. Okay. But these young people were all over the floor. And you know what? They weren't just down there for a minute or two. They weren't moving. They weren't budging. They were just down there. We were playing Jane. Where's Jane? Well, anyway, do you remember? They were just laying out there before the Lord. And God was just doing something in their little hearts. Oh, you know what? That just made me so happy. I was just like, oh, God, they're getting it. And then in the evening time, at 6:30, they come to the altar. And they kneel at the altar. And they pray for 30 minutes. Now, we're talking kids, young people that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, on up to the leaders. And they're at the altar. And they're praying. Some of them don't know, but God is instilling that in them. It's so beautiful to see. It's absolutely precious. I don't know how I got off on that, but it's so precious. Pray for young people. This summer, make it a special point. Commit to bringing your children, your grandchildren. Get the neighbor's kids. It doesn't matter. Bring them. Because God is planting seed. And that seed, I want you to know, that seed is growing. And we have the most wonderful leaders in the youth camp portion that pour in to these kids. It's not just play, play, play. Yes, they swim. Well, let me tell you what. We do intense Bible study because it's not just a vacation. It is Bible school and learning. And my prayer every time is, God, put it into these kids, these young people. Put the Word of God that it will stick and that they at least take one thing home with them. And, you know, we have teenagers that have been coming since they were preteen, and they've come every year. They fly in from all over the country. God's doing something here other than just deliverance for the grown-ups. Amen. There's something for the youth. So, hallelujah. Where am I? I can do with that little side dissertation. Okay. So the other thing is Philippians 4:13. We all know that one. Let's just quote it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe that's where it was going. I don't know. But anyway, Hebrews 6. Let's turn to Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. I have a glass of milk. Christ in me gives me hope. Last year, my word that the Lord gave to me was hope. Oh, I tell you, hope. I was sitting here on this front row, and he spoke to me, and he said, help other people every day. HOPE, the acronym, help other people every day. Make it your business to help other people every day. How did that? A smile. May I help you? Whatever. But verse 17, chapter 6 of Hebrews 17, chapter 6, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, or the permanent character of His word. That's what that immutability means. That by two immutable signs in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah. The purpose of God was to transition us for such a time as this. I said this last night, I'll say it again. Wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. Wherever you are is where you're supposed to be. And Isaiah 61:3 tells us what we're to do wherever we are. So let's turn there. Or you may just listen. Isaiah 61, verse 3. We all know the first part of that. I just want to get to the last part, but we're going to read all of it. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. The planting of the Lord, a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You were planted wherever you are, that you might, that the Lord might be glorified. So you bloom wherever you're planted. If you needed a scripture, you now have a scripture. Now, transition tells me I'm on the move. So look at your neighbor on each side, and three times I want you to say, I'm moving, I'm moving, I'm moving. You are on the move. You're not in a box. You're not dead. You're not boxed in. I don't know about you, but I operate out of the box. That's a cool place to be. Operate out of the box. Isn't that good? Position, knowing who you are. Now, I want to just talk to you about a couple of biblical characters that happened to be my favorite. And you say, oh, well, she's talking about this one again or that one again. But I want you to know that God starts something long before, generations before we ever know why, or that we're in the position. You're in the position you are because you had a forefather that was able to take it down the generation. Just like curses, you know, curses are generational. It stops with you. Well, in this case, it doesn't stop with you. And let's use Esther. I love Esther. Now, Esther, we know her name means star, but Esther began her journey being born to a mama and daddy that we know nothing about. And while she was a little girl, probably playing at home and doing whatever she did with her mom and dad, her uncle Mordecai was being moved from where he was, a godly nation, to an ungodly. Now, he was just taken. He was one of the people taken from this godly nation and moved over to an ungodly nation, to ungodly people in the country of Shushan. Now, God had him there for a purpose. So, he's there. Well, it doesn't say that God, that this person moved him and Esther. So, obviously, he was in Shushan before Esther ever came along. And at some point after that, it was necessary for him to take Esther. Now, I've heard some accounts that say her parents died. I don't know what happened to her parents. All I know is that she ended up with Mordecai because that was God's design. Because he knew that he was going to teach Esther the word of God. He was going to teach her obedience. He was going to teach her submission. He was going to teach her to be dutiful. And so she got so when they called for the young virgins, well, she was a perfect candidate. She was in the right place because God had her there. So he took her. He said, "Well, you go and be one of these young virgins." She didn't say, "Oh no, I don't want to go, because that means if I go," and this is what I historically have been taught. He said, when these young virgins, and I didn't know this until not too long ago, when these young virgins went to the palace, thank you, when they went to the palace, if they weren't selected, they still didn't go back home. They had to stay there forever. So they were separated forever from their parents and from their loved ones. Well, she went willingly, and we know that she gained favor, and we've heard all the teachings about the favor that she had. But then I want to ask you something. She went through her 12 months of purification. What does she have to be purified from? Purification is not only an outward, but it's an inward purification. So I got to thinking about this. Here she is soaking in those mineral baths. One of these days I'm going to come up here and I'm going to have a mineral bath and I'm going to have a massage. And I'm just going to take time to just soak it up. Thank you. Soak it up. So here she is in this mineral bath, these mineral baths, and she's just soaking it up. And all of a sudden, beep, what is that? There's a little pimple showed up. She had to be purified. Why? Because she had some impurities that needed to come out and needed to be dealt with. So she began dealing with the impurities inside and outside. What were some of the inward things? God, why is my uncle raising me? You think maybe somewhere along the line she wondered, why is he raising me? Why did my mama and daddy have to die? You're God, you do everything. Why did they have to die? I'm raised with this man who knows nothing about cooking and sewing and teaching me how to clean house. I just live with this man, and he teaches me, and I love him. But why was I adopted? Why was I abandoned? Do you think maybe during this purification process that she ever had thoughts like that? No doubt. She had thoughts like that. But God had to empty her. And she had to pour herself out to him. It's okay. I'm giving you permission by the Lord today to pour out everything that you don't understand that has happened to you. Pour out. Ask him those questions. I ministered to somebody. I don't know who it was. It doesn't really matter. But I told her, I said, when you have enough at your home, get in your car and shut the doors, get in your car, drive down the road, and get it out. Just get it out. And it doesn't matter if you have to scream at God. You know, he knows what's in there. Get it out. And then put some praise on. Put some worship CDs on. And drive around. It may take you 15 minutes. It may take you 3 hours. Just do it. And then you know what? that calm and that peace is going to come upon you. That peace that passes all understanding. And when you have to get out of that car, drive in that driveway, get out of that car, step out of it, open the door and step back into your house, then everything is okay. Because Amen. He never gives you more than you can handle. But I think Esther went through some of those things. Mm-hmm. Do you think that during that time that perhaps she was a little anxious about her night with the king? I mean, after all, she's a little virgin girl, a young woman. She's going into this man who was older, much older than she was, and she's going to go in there. Who told her about the birds and the bees? Did her uncle? Did you ever think about some of these things? Who told her? What was it going to be like? Was he going to be rough? Was he going to be gentle? What? So she went in there. I mean, she had all these things that she had to work out first. She had to know that the God that Mordecai had told her about, the God that was now her God, she had to get to the point where she knew by faith everything was going to be all right. Amen?
Amen. May I inject something?
Yes, ma'am.
If any of you have been in the company of teenage girls, can you imagine being thrown in with 200 teenage girls vying for the king's affection? And what jealousies and envies and the things that would come against you in that situation. That I've often thought of what she had to deal with in dealing with her peers.
That's right.
That were there.
That's right. That's a wonderful, wonderful input. And she had to deal with lots of things. But you know what? God has handpicked Esther to deliver his people. Amen? So she found favor. But I'm sure she wondered, am I going to find favor with the king? Is he going to accept me? Is he going to like me? Teenage girls, is he going to like me? You know, I don't know, he's cute. He's hottie. He's hot. You know. Maybe she walked in and it was love at first sight, both ways. Who knows? I don't know, but I can only imagine. Hallelujah. So she went in and we know she pleased the king and said, you know what, I got to have you forever. So he placed that crown upon her head and made her queen. God selected her to be a deliverer for the Jewish nation. God has selected you to be a deliverer for your family, for your spouse, for your friends, for your community, for those people in your church. God selected you to be a deliverer. You are destined for such a time as this. Say, such a time as this. With all she went through during her young life, she was destined to be a queen. Say, I'm destined to be a queen.
I'm destined to be a queen.
Esther also walked in her inheritance. She lived like a queen. She lived in her inheritance. She enjoyed her privileges, the privileges that you have when you are royalty. I love that. I love that. Live in your privileges. I think that we don't live in our privileges, but God wants us to. She was a redeemer of her people. Now listen very carefully. Her convictions were greater than her desires.
Yes.
Her convictions were greater than her desires. Sometimes we desire worldly things more than our convictions. It'll take a minute for that to soak in, huh? Sometimes we'd rather watch American Idol than spend time with the Word. Convictions supersede our worldly desires. When you know you're in transition, your convictions supersede your desires. I know I said the same thing four times, but I want you to get it. Repetition. We learn by repetition. Transition is a time designed by God to take you to your destination, thus fulfilling your purpose and your plan. Let's talk about another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman in the Bible. Her name is Ruth. Ruth lived in the country of Moab. And Abimelech and Naomi lived in Bethlehem, Judah. There was a famine in the land. So Abimelech says, Naomi, we need to take our two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and we need to move to Moab. Plenty of food there, and we'll just go there. We can continue our beliefs. We can continue to teach our boys the ways of God because they lived in a godly nation. So they moved to Moab. Well, they were there, and Abimelech died. Naomi's husband died. After Abimelech died, the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, took wives, and they took Orpah and Ruth with the wives of those two. They resided there for 10 years. At the end of that 10 years, both sons died. And so the home became a house of grief. They still loved God, but it was a household. So Naomi said, you know what? I'm in a foreign land. I want to go back home. Where was home? Judah. She was going back to praise. So she tells her girls, the daughters-in-law, she said, y'all stay here. This is where your people are and your culture. And so I give you permission to stay here and marry. She'd gone through all the scenario if she has sons. Well, we're not going there. So she said, I'm going back home, but I want y'all to stay here with your people. Well, we know that Orpah said, I'm going to go back to my people. But Ruth said, wherever you go, I go. Wherever you lodge, I lodge. Wherever your people will be my people, your God will be my God. How could she say that? How could she say that? Because they had poured the Word of God. They had poured the ways of God. They had poured the acts of God. They had poured everything into her. And you know what? She liked that. And she accepted everything that they said. And she wanted to go and be part of that. Now I ask you something else. Why was it so easy? Or the Bible makes it sound easy for a young bride to just leave her family and go off with her husband. And many times, I don't know if this is an actual fact, but they never went back home and saw their family. They were trained from when they were little to cleave and leave, or leave and cleave. Cajun country's not like that. You don't leave and cleave. You cleave and cleave. So you cleave and cleave. I mean, those babies are your babies forever. You're the son-in-law, and that's her husband, but she's my baby. Yeah. Not scriptural, but that is the way it is. So Ruth goes, and she goes with her mother-in-law. So God had positioned everything. Abimelech and Naomi had to go to Shushan. They had to go to Moab. Her son had to marry a Moabite for her to come back to marry what was a king there in Judah. Why? Does everybody know why? Because that was the lineage of Jesus. She was going to bring forth the lineage of Jesus. Amen? So God had that plan way before. This was How many, have you ever counted? I've never counted, but do you know how many? I mean, she married Boaz, and they had Jesse, Obed and Jesse, and I mean, it goes down. Look it up. The first chapter of Matthew will give you the whole lineage until how many generations? 42 generations. So I said all that to say that God has you wherever you are. You may be the first of, but I suspect for a lot of us it's been way back. Okay? So she became royalty. When she married Boaz, Ruth became royalty. She was a blood descendant of, she started as a gleaner and ended up as a possessor. She possessed her inheritance. She walked in it, which is what God wants us to do. He wants us to walk in our inheritance. All right, ladies, it's time to make some more confessions. Okay? I am more than a conqueror.
I am more than a conqueror.
I'm the head and not the tail.
I'm the head and not the tail.
Gusto, I'm the head and not the tail.
I'm the head and not the tail.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
I'm destined for greatness.
I'm destined for greatness.
Better days are ahead of me.
Better days are ahead of me.
The worst is behind me.
The worst is behind me.
Hallelujah. So we have covered what? We have covered chosen. We have covered royal priesthood. We're going to briefly cover peculiar. You're peculiar, which means you have been purchased with a price. You're qualified to be royal. The blood qualifies you. I really should have done holy. Holy comes before peculiar. So let's change that. Holy, you're set apart for His kingdom purpose. That is who you are. You are set apart for His purpose. Accept that. Say, I accept the fact, that I am set apart
for His kingdom purpose.
Hallelujah. Now, holy and then it's peculiar, which means you have been purchased with a price. You are qualified. You are qualified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are a joint heir.
I am.
That's all right. Go ahead. I'm a joint heir.
I am a joint
heir. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart.
The love of God is shed abroad in my heart.
He causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Greater is He that is in me than he that is of the world.
I was born to overcome the world.
All the promises of Him are yea. All His promises are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God. Yea and amen. That's all. Yea and amen. This is how God sees you. This is a God of more than enough, not just enough. Hallelujah. He meets your every need. Hallelujah. And if you believe Him, He meets it above and beyond what you could ever imagine. You're a king's kid, and in Proverbs 6, let's go there because I want you to read that. Proverbs 6. And we're going to read verse 30 and 31. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Okay. Verse 30, it says, Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. Verse 31, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. So whatever the devil steals from you, he's got to pay it back. How many? Sevenfold. I'd say that's a pretty good return on your money, huh? Amen. Okay. Let's stand, please. Close your Bibles and put your pens up. Stretch a minute if you want to. Now. Hallelujah, you're royalty. Okay, we are going to declare and decree. Amen?
Amen.
So, I'm going to say it. I want you to repeat it. I declare and decree I'm royalty.
I declare and decree I'm royalty.
I declare and decree I am chosen.
I
I declare and decree I am holy.
I declare and decree I am peculiar.
From this day forward,
I show forth
the praises of Him,
who has called me
out of darkness,
into His marvelous light.
Woo! Hallelujah! Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. God is good. 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 Hallelujah. Now, we're going to do something very special this afternoon. Now, you may sit if you'd like to. I'm going to move this. Could I have a little bit of help here? Somebody strong and doesn't hurt their back. And let's just move this over to the side over there, please, ma'am. Over there, and the flowers. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Start up here. This is such a special, I've got to make it through. It's such a, I don't know if I even have the word to say it. It's such a holy time. It's a holy time before our Father. Because we're accepting what He's called us to be. We're saying, Lord, whatever it takes, you to fulfill the plan and purpose that you have for me, I accept it. So we're going to demonstrate that by walking down the red carpet. This is your coronation day. And you'll receive your crown. And you'll be anointed. And we want to present you with a little vial of oil for you to take with you. You'll never be the same because of what God is going to do in you today. God has me speak a word over you. I ask for your permission to do that. Mary, could we start with you and just, or wherever we want to start. And you know what? I really think it would be good if we walk around and come up the middle aisle. Not just this one little part, but go all the way around and come. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.